everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're going exploring the world of Bible translation and those tricky spots where culture and language collide. We're going to be digging into a fascinating lecture by Dr. George Payton all about this topic.
Oh, yeah.
And get this, understanding the culture behind the biblical words. It's like having a secret decoder ring for the whole book. Seriously.
I love that analogy. So true. You know, we often just skim over the Bible, assuming we get it.
Right.
But words are just like the tip of the iceberg, right?
Right.
Culture is that massive world underneath, and without it, we're missing a huge chunk of the meaning.
It's like that example from the lecture, the one about the guy buying a ring for his girlfriend. Yeah. We instantly picture an engagement ring, right? Like our minds fill in the whole story.
Totally. And that's what's so fascinating. It shows how much our own culture shapes how we understand things.
It's like we don't even realize how much we're adding to the story based on our own assumptions.
Exactly. Dr. Payton uses these words cryptic and inferential to describe language. It's packed with unspoken stuff that we decode without even thinking about it.
And you don't realize it until you encounter something that breaks those assumptions.
Right. Even switching one word, he bought a ring for his fiance versus girlfriend, changes the whole scene.
Oh, wow. And that's just English. Imagine translating those tiny but powerful differences into another language, another culture, with its own set of unspoken rules.
It's a huge challenge for translators.
The Bible is full of these moments where knowing the culture unlocks the real meaning. Like that example with the leper from the lecture.
Ah, yes. The story of Jesus healing the leper in the Gospel of Mark.
Right.
Big challenge for translators there is finding the right Swahili word for clean. Mm. You've got safisha for like cleaning a house.
Okay.
Osha for cleaning with water. Even fua, which is specifically for clothing.
Interesting. But wouldn't takasa work there?
Yeah.
That's the word for ritual purification, right? But why wouldn't any of those other words work? They all mean clean in some way.
This is where that cultural decoder ring comes in.
Yeah.
In ancient Jewish society, ritual purity was a big deal.
I can imagine.
It wasn't just about hygiene. It was about your relationship with God and the community.
So leprosy wasn't just a physical illness.
No. No, it had huge social and religious consequences.
Yeah.
Someone with leprosy, they were considered unclean. Totally cut off from the community.
Really?
Couldn't even take part in religious life.
Oh, wow.
So when Jesus touches the leper, it's way more than just a physical healing.
Right. He's making a statement.
Exactly. It's a total restoration, bringing him back into the community, making him ritually clean.
So choosing the right word for clean isn't just about semantics.
No way.
It's about capturing that whole layered meaning.
It really is. It's a great example of how one word can be a huge cultural landmine for translators.
It makes you realize the weight of their job. They're not just translating words. They're bridging cultural gaps and helping us understand the deeper meaning.
Absolutely. And, you know, this theme of ritual purity comes up again in a really powerful way in the story of the woman with the hemorrhage who touches Jesus's cloak.
Oh, yeah.
That one's fascinating.
Okay, so we've got this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, desperate to be healed.
Right.
She touches Jesus's cloak and she's suddenly terrified.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Because in that culture, her condition made her ritually unclean.
Exactly.
And even touching someone could pass that on.
It's hard to imagine living in a society where just having a medical condition could make you an outcast.
I know, right?
That was her reality.
Yeah.
Constant fear of being discovered.
Wow.
Because it meant social shame, isolation even.
People would have avoided her.
Literally like the plague.
So knowing that her reaching out to Jesus, that's an act of incredible faith.
Oh, absolutely. And desperation, too.
For sure.
It adds a whole other layer to the story, doesn't it?
Mm.
Dr. Payton talks about how the crowd is described as pressing in on him.
Oh, yeah.
Usually we just picture, you know, a big excited crowd.
Right, right.
But now knowing about her condition and the fear she must have felt, that phrase becomes so much more intense.
It's like you can feel her pushing through all those people.
Risking everything just to touch Jesus.
It's powerful stuff.
And amidst all the chaos, Jesus senses that power has gone out from him.
Mm.
He stops and asks, "Who touched me?"
Mm.
And the disciples are like, "Seriously, you're surrounded by people."
Uh-huh. I love that.
But Jesus knows something extraordinary just happened.
It's like a detective story. He's searching for the source of that power.
Exactly. The person whose faith was strong enough to draw it out of him.
Wow.
And then we get this really poignant moment where the woman comes forward trembling.
Oh, yeah.
She knows she's broken the law, but she's also been healed.
It's beautiful.
It really is. Such a powerful illustration of how Jesus' compassion transcends those social boundaries and religious rules.
It shows you how important it is to understand the cultural context.
It's like reading between the lines.
Yeah, those subtle cues that bring the story to life.
Dr. Payton calls it understanding the scenario.
And it's crucial for translators, right?
Oh, absolutely. A word-for-word translation just wouldn't cut it. They need to find ways to communicate that same depth of meaning in a completely different language and culture.
So how do they do that? How do translators bridge that gap?
Well, there are tools like footnotes and glossaries.
Okay.
Those can be really helpful for providing extra context and explanation. For example, a footnote could explain the whole concept of ritual purity or the social implications of leprosy.
That makes sense. It's like giving readers a glimpse into that ancient world.
So we can understand the text more on its own terms.
Right, and not just impose our own cultural assumptions.
Exactly. It's about preserving that richness and complexity of the original meaning.
It's fascinating stuff.
It really is. And it reminds me of another fascinating example from the lecture.
It's funny in a way, isn't it? Even in those ancient cultures, they had these complex social rules and anxieties. Like, it shows you human nature hasn't really changed that much, even after thousands of years.
It's so true. And it actually makes those biblical figures feel more relatable.
Yeah.
We see them facing the same fears and uncertainties and social pressures that we deal with today.
Totally. We can imagine that woman with the hemorrhage worrying about what people would think.
Or the leper longing to be accepted back into the community.
Exactly. These aren't just abstract theological ideas. They're real human experiences.
And they resonate across cultures and time periods.
That's why understanding the cultural backdrop is so important.
It helps us see the Bible as more than just a collection of ancient texts.
It's a living, breathing story about real people grappling with real life challenges.
It's like peeling back the layers of history and getting a glimpse into the hearts and minds of the people who lived those stories.
It really makes you wonder what other unspoken stories are hidden throughout the Bible.
Just waiting to be discovered.
It's an invitation to engage with the text in a more thoughtful and nuanced way.
To ask questions, consider different perspectives, and really wrestle with the challenges and complexities of the biblical narrative.
And maybe by doing that, we'll discover something new about ourselves, our own faith, and the timeless truths that these ancient stories have to offer.
Absolutely.
It's like Dr. Payton said, the more we understand the context, the more those stories come alive.
We see those nuances, the unspoken emotions, the true depth of meaning.
So as we continue to explore the Bible,
keep your eyes open for those unspoken stories.
Look for those cultural clues, the hidden meanings, the connections that might not be obvious right away.
And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Dive deeper. Challenge your assumptions and embrace that richness and complexity.
It's a fascinating journey, and you never know what you might find.
Well said. This has been an incredible deep dive.
It really has.
A huge thanks to Dr. Payton's lecture for sparking this conversation.
Absolutely.
We've learned so much about the power of cultural context in understanding the Bible.
And remember, the most important takeaway: approach the Bible with that cultural awareness and see how it deepens your understanding and appreciation.
And on that note, we'll leave you with this thought. What unspoken stories are waiting to be discovered in your reading of the Bible? Happy exploring.